Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle JCRB Krause.
It's Wednesday, time to get over the halfway point of the week. I think they call that a hump. That's a weird thing to call it, though. It's weird to call Wednesday hump day, but whatever. I don't know. Things are weird. How are you doing, Ian?
I'm doing just fine. I'm midway through our big Bumblecasty week. If you missed it, our priority episode was last Monday. We're doing standard Q&A today. We've got a guest episode on Friday. And then this Saturday, 6 p.m. over on YouTube, we will be doing the end of the month live chat episode. Sponsored patrons over at patreon.com/Bumblecast.
Sponsored. That's what you said. Sponsored Discord. Be nice. Be nice. Sponsored by those fine folks. Yes. All right. We got anything we need to get to before we jump right into some Q&A questions?
I've covered everything on my end.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into it. This is the standard Q&A. A few of these are coming from our Discord, but most of them are from YouTube this week. So let's jump right into it here with a question from Mike B. Do you think Sally's pompadour-like hair, or head fur, is mostly volume? I'm trying to wonder if she would need a headband or something if she went swimming.
You say that, and I remember, oh gosh, was it the In Your Face special? Way back in the day.
That is way back.
Where she put on a headband, and like,
yeah,
it looked really weird because only like the front bangs were clipped under it, but it still had the poof.
Yep. I do remember that.
And I mean, even when Spaz drew it, you know, the fringes would kind of waft around, but the main mass seemed to be unmoving. So I'm wondering if that's just solid hair.
Maybe.
Maybe she's got a nest of flickies in there or something.
Maybe she's just got a giant head.
Well, that too.
A weird oblong head.
It really depends on the artist, too.
Don't think about it too hard. Here's a question from Godzilla. In honor of Pirate Sonic and Captain Shadow, yeah, this question came in a while ago. Pitch a third storybook game with a pirate theme. Do you go classic Treasure Island, or do you pull from other pirate fiction? But most important of all, why are the chili dogs gone?
I kind of feel like you have to go with Treasure Island, right?
It seems like, yeah, that would be the most like suitable, considering the other storybook games went for very, very well-known stories.
And you even have kind of like the gimmick of, you know, with Secret Rings, Sonic had the burning arrow in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And in Black Knight, he had the Caliburn and glove. So Treasure Island, he's got the black spot. Build some gameplay around that. Give it some kind of weird supernatural power. And, you know, he's racing through the storybook to cure himself.
Yeah, that works. There you go. You've done pitched it, buddy.
Pretty much. I'm not super, super familiar with the story, like the actual story. I know a lot of derivative stuff, but I don't think I've ever actually read the original. So, I mean, I guess Long John Silver could be your primary antagonist.
Yeah.
Who would be your companion throughout, though? Who would be the Shaha or Merlina?
Good question.
And more importantly, why would they betray you partway through?
Of course. I'm receiving word it should be Ben.
Yeah, but they don't find Ben till they get to the island. I see Knuckles as kind of like Ben. I don't know. It couldn't be a perfect one-to-one anyway. I don't know why I'm hamstringing myself that much, because they certainly took liberties with 1001 Nights and Arthurian legend.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, maybe Ben. I don't know. But that could be fun. That could be fun.
Yeah.
They certainly have the locales and such for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That would be a fun storybook style game. Maybe without the shoehorned in motion controls. That would be an improvement.
Maybe.
Yes. Here's a question from Radri. I recall there was a statement where you said Amy, Sonic, and Tails can't have character arcs. Am I paraphrasing this wrong or hearing this wrong? If this is so, are there any other characters in IDW that can't have arcs? I imagine their stories have to be similar to one of those of detective fiction, where the main character doesn't really need to change, but the world around them does episodically.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head. I may have said something to that effect, and that's just me not being clear in my wording. Or it could be somebody who transcribes the show and does a poor job of it, and then everybody runs with it because they don't actually listen to the show itself. Not that that's ever happened before, but anyway. that's the whole thing with licensed characters, is they cannot deviate from the standard too far. So in that regard, they can't have arcs because they can't really learn or grow from the experience, because they have to be the same as, you know, when we pick them up, pretty much. But they can have kind of mini arcs, I guess, to a degree, like with Amy. When we started up IDW, this was right after the events of Forces. So she was kind of the organizer of the Resistance. And then Knuckles kind of left everything behind. And yeah, the Resistance is done. And Amy's like, but there's still work to do. There's people who need help. All right, fine. I'm heading the Restoration. And she manages as best she can, and ultimately comes to the decision that no, she cannot handle this. This is driving her crazy. She needs someone else to take over. And Jewel's like, I like organizing things. She's like, thank you. Let me help you take over. Now I'm free to go back to the way I was. So that right there is kind of a small arc for her. Her taking on a challenge that she was not necessarily prepared for, learning from it, and then resolving to go back to the way things were, but still learning from it enough to allow Jewel a easy transition rather than just dumping it all on her.
Right.
So in that regard, yes, she had an arc, but the Amy at the beginning is pretty much the same Amy at the end. So in that regard, she didn't have an arc, if you dig what I'm saying. They can have small personal arcs, but it just, they can't really grow or change from them.
Yeah, at least not on a large scale. They can maybe have a slight thing like, where, oh, maybe there's a point in the future where Amy will think back to her time in the Resistance and be like, oh, yes. And she will have learned something from that. But, you know, it's a very small thing.
Yeah. And like Sonic, one of the big themes was his empathy and his choices on giving chances, second, third, fifth chances to the villains, and the consequences of taking the high road.
Yeah.
And that kind of culminated with Zavok saying, you know, I will come back. I am completely irredeemable. I will do bad things again. You know, I will. And Sonic coming to the conclusion of, yeah, and that's your choice to be stupid. And I will put you down every single time. You know, I will give you the choice to turn to good. And if not, I'm going to stomp you. And maybe you'll learn next time.
He won't.
No, because Zavok can't change either.
Nope. He's stuck in them same clothes forever. Whatever those clothes are, considering he doesn't wear any clothes. Here's a question from TickTick. How many mercenary groups are on Sonic's World? We have Jackal Squad. We have the Diamond Cutters. One could assume Team Chaotix are kind of like mercenaries, as they go into combat situations a lot of times. Seems like, quote-unquote, mercenary is a pretty popular profession. Is that intentional?
I wouldn't say intentional, but it's kind of grown out of where the franchise has been lately, I guess.
Hmm.
Kind of like how Boba Fett started off the bounty hunter craze in popular fiction, and nobody actually following what a bounty hunter actually
the
is.
The bounty hunters that do not hunt bounties. Yes.
Yeah.
They're just, it's just generic term for lone badass. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what mercenaries has evolved into, I guess. But like Sonic's World seems to be built around the ideas of very loose organization overall.
Yeah. So
roving bands of people doing what they think they need to do is kind of par for the course, and if you want to call them mercenaries, that works.
Sure. Might as well. Here's this one from Bony Cheese. Does Mecha Sonic... Huh?
I'm sorry, dude. Just your name. Ah, God.
I think we went through this last time.
Yeah, I know. And I mean no offense. Just, ah.
Does Mecha Sonic Mach 3 from Adventure still exist in the IDW comics?
maybe not in the incarnation that Archie presented him, but he was based off of the Sonic Adventure model, which is Mecha Sonic version 3. You cannot convince me otherwise. And that is a game element, so I'm assuming it's potentially on the table. We just haven't gotten to it yet.
Alrighty. Well, maybe in the future. Here's one from Gio. In Naruto, the character Sakura Haruno is similar to Amy Rose, both pink in clothing and similar personalities. Is that coincidental?
I don't know.
We know Amy Rose. Amy Rose is much older than Sakura. You know, she's been around for much longer.
So maybe, but I'm not familiar with Naruto, so I can't say if the correlations are any more deep than that.
Yeah.
Or if that's just like circumstantial stuff. I've heard that comparison made in the past, but, you know, shares a similar color scheme and has similar personality traits. Like how broad are we making this comparison? In that she is like the female lead and is compassionate. That's not enough of a one-to-one for me. So if you are a fan of Naruto, please comment below and let us know if you think that she's basically Amy or if there's a greater difference, if there's more nuance to it.
It could be that maybe there was some slight inspiration taken, but I mean, there's not enough there to really definitively say that. There's enough of a plausible deniability, I suppose. Here's a question from Dragon's Den Variety. If Tangle and Whisper were to each get one power core for themselves, which one do you think they would get?
I think Tangle would try to get a flying core just to fling herself even more ridiculously than she already can and just have fun with it. Whisper would be kind of paralyzed for choice because she'd want what is most practical. But I think ultimately she would go speed so that she could move position a lot faster, get to a new sniping area before the enemy has time to realize where she fired from. Because she doesn't have to do a lot of up close hand-to-hand stuff, so power wouldn't really do too well. And yeah, the hover allows her to fly to higher vantage points, but being out in the open like that is a liability, so flying isn't really her thing. But if she can zip from point to point, that would be more her thing, I think.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Which is kind of funny, because we've talked about them being in a Sonic Heroes style formation in the past, and in that regard, Tangle's definitely the speed type, and Whisper's more the power type, but...
Right.
If we're talking narratively what they would want, I think it would go that way.
Right. Yeah, I feel like it's hard to kind of shoehorn some of these characters into that speed fly power type formation. Yeah, break it up a little bit. Have some fun with it. Why not? And here's this one from Ralpho TG. When all those Mobians were getting legionized, what happened to their limbs? Were they synthesized into mechanical appendages or simply discarded? Do you think Eggman slash Robotnik had a different, possibly more cruel method for legionizing than the Echidna's methods? The most important part of the question that I'm dying to know is, did the Legion leave a pile of Mobian body parts in its wake wherever they went?
See, the thing is... That's a question that we purposely don't want to answer. The body horror is already skirting the line of all ages material.
Yeah, it was very whoa, okay.
To imagine there's like a wood chipper off to the side that, that's no bueno. I mean, it's an obvious question, sure.
Yes.
But it's kind of one of those things where you have to just back away and say, this is a all ages fantasy. Let's not think too hard about it.
Come up with your own headcanon.
It can't be one-to-one synthesis because that's just robotization again.
Yeah.
And that the whole appeal of legionization is that robotization wasn't possible anymore. So, as for the processes, that is an interesting question because you have to go back to the vanilla Dark Legion and look at what they were doing and what their thought processes were, because we don't really get that. We know that they all kind of had gizmos attached to them willy-nilly, but we don't really get any insight into the culture behind it. Like, is it just expected to put it on? Are they mostly cosmetic? Do they hold it with a certain degree of reverence? at what point did the legionization become standard practice? Because the Dark Legion under, oh God, who was it? It's been a long time since I've had to dive into this lore, forgive me. But like when Miniker formed the Dark Legion, it was more of a reaction to the anti-technology stance. Technology was more of a, why are you taking away the advances? It wasn't fetishized like later generations. But by Kragok, which was, oh God, what was it, 5 generations later? It seemed like everybody stuff on it. And was this stuff to help them survive in the Twilight Zone? Or was it ceremonial? Sorry? Was it only 3? Yeah, I know it was Time Dilation, but it was really only 3? Luger, Kragok. Okay, so 4, yeah. That's real fast to go from, you know, we don't want to lose our toaster to I am my toaster.
Okay. Archie was weird, man.
Of course, I mean, I guess they cut out the middleman and now mothers have a built-in way to microwave the baby.
Oh, no.
I think I'm meandering too far from the core point.
I think so.
Why did the Dark Legion have their legionization?
Why did the Dark Legion? You could have just stopped there.
Once you answer that question and understand the process there, then you can compare it to Eggman's process. Like, if they're stranded in the Twilight Zone, which didn't seem to have a lot of anything in it, I would imagine that the Dark Legion's initial process would have to be as economical as possible, because they're not going to get a lot of resources or time to do it. Whereas Eggman doesn't care, and he would take the fast, dirty, painful approach because he can. He's still about efficiency too. He wouldn't make things that are too cumbersome or too counterintuitive that he would lose the workability of each unit. But he wouldn't be as delicate, I guess, as the Legion. I don't know. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered within the context of those worlds. And that's just not going to happen.
All right. Well, was it actually called the Twilight Zone, by the way?
Yep.
Was that your doing?
Nope.
Okay. Should have known. Should have known.
But you know, when Sonic Chronicles comes out and the Marauders are caught in the Twilight Cage, but they're totally not based on the comic, it's like,
Here's a question from Oreo166. So I've heard that the Another Time, Another Place comics existed in a universe different from the main Archie Sonic's Prime Zone. Did the Another Time, Another Place universe exist as part of the literal Archie multiverse, as an actually part of Archie's cosmology?
Ah, sure.
Why not?
I mean, it was a hand-wavy excuse for why we didn't have to adapt game material immediately into the comic canon, but we still had to acknowledge it for tie-in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that it happened somewhere else at another time, there. We do our tie-in, we appease the license holder, we don't throw all of our plans off the rails every time a game comes up.
Yeah.
And because there was a gigantic freaking multiverse in that book, sure, say they happen in that multiverse. Say they are all part of the same if it fits. If not, there you go. It's a different multiverse.
Say they're all different, each different multiverses. Yeah, why not? There you go. You can have as many multiverses as you want. That's the great thing about the multiverse.
Oops, all multiverse.
Yep. Speaking of the multiverse, we're going to go jump in ours and then come back in another different multiverse and answer some more questions on the Bumblecast. We are back. We have returned, I think. I think this is the same multiverse, the same universe within the multiverse. I don't know, though. We might be in a different universe right now. I guess we'll find out.
Your name's still Lyle, right?
Sure, Bean.
We're good.
Okay. Yeah, we're good. All right. Let's go. Get jumping into this question from Mike B, except it's a different Mike B. It's Michael B. Have you ever considered introducing the sprites from Sonic Dash 2, Sonic Boom?
No, because those are locked to Sonic Boom, and we can't touch anything from Boom.
Boom. All right, here's one from SH. What do you think would happen if the Deadly Six and Black Arms, mainly Zavok and Black Doom, met? Since they're both extraterrestrials with very similar ideals and goals, world destruction, do you think they'd be able to cooperate, or would they just try to wipe each other out for being a different species?
Number one, apparently the Deadly Six are not extraterrestrials. They are native to Sonic's world. I am as surprised as you are.
Don't think about it too hard.
Yeah, just roll with it. And the Black Arms seem to be of the mindset that they are a higher life form and that all others are just food to them. So I would imagine they would use Lost Hex as a beachhead and just continue to consume. The Deadly Six and any other Zeti that are hiding around there would just be more cattle to be consumed. And Zavok would not take well to that, what with his whole not wanting to be dead. So they would be openly hostile towards each other immediately.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That actually might be kind of fun to see, a big monster alien fight.
Yeah, of course. That's always fun to see.
It would be interesting to see how the Black Arms tech would work for their EM powers. Like, are they too biologically based to be controlled? Could they short them out just enough to have a slight edge? Or would they really just have to rely on their brute strength? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. And our next question here is from MSF. Recently, I've been mourning the loss of Archie Mega Man comics again, and I was wondering, in an alternate universe where the comic wasn't put on indefinite hiatus, quote-unquote, how would you have adapted the new lore that Mega Man 11 showed us about Light and Wily's shared past?
I'd just fold it into whatever else we had at the time. It's kind of neat to see them in a younger, or in a past sense at least.
Yeah.
Would have been fun to name and place the members of the science panel. One of the things that I had wanted to do with the Archie Mega Man book was, you know, show other roboticists the world over. Dr. Lalinde was just the beginning of what I wanted to do. You know, her and Dr. Cossack, and I wanted to show other contemporaries. And so that right there is material to work from.
Right.
You know, who are these people? Are they still creating machines? Have they developed robot masters of their own? You know, are they responsible for some of the ones that we see from the tournament? And you know, just fold it into everything else.
Yeah, I think you can do that. Having the gears suddenly be a thing would be strange, but, you know, whatever.
You may work. Same hurdle as, hey, I made the items.
Good point. Good point.
Here's a magnet beam I just happen to have lying around on the floor.
Yes.
Evil energy? What's that? You know?
It's evil. Oh, wow. It's right there in the name. Who would have guessed?
Don't you want to use your combo power with Rush and be Super Mega Man? No, I've got these. You're fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where's Proto Man? Who?
Yeah, pretty much. All right, and Tails is asking us a question again. Miles T. Per Hour is here. Speaking of the Diamond Cutters, I thought of something. Diamond Cutters versus Jackal Squad. Who would you like to explore more if you could? Which one do you like? Who do you think would win in a fight based on what we know of them? It's funny because the similarities between those two teams are so shockingly similar.
I'm not seeing the similarities, given that Jackal Squad had nothing to it.
Other than they're like a quote-unquote mercenary team?
Yeah.
But that's like, it.
They didn't have designs or names. What you see in the tie-in comic is what Adam came up with on the fly.
Yeah.
Infinite was the only one who had anything to him. And I guess the similarities are both dead. Dead by some form of shadow, I guess. All right. Mm-hmm. Never mind. I take it back. They are very similar. morbid.
This is a dark episode.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we're almost on Halloween.
Yeah, makes sense.
I don't know on which one I'd want to do, because, like, it would be kind of fun to see Whisper before her trauma and the Diamond Cutters as a unit, because people responded to them very well, and it would be kind of nice to see them in their heyday. But we also, I feel like we got a good feel for who they were in their one appearance.
Right.
And there's no real point in exploring them much deeper because, again, they only served a purpose to be Whisper's backstory. There's no real point in developing them further because they're dead. They're not going to contribute to the story going forward. It would be indulgent. It would be fun, sure, but it would be kind of just to see them, which is the same way with Jackal Squad. It's just Jackal Squad has nothing to them. So that's kind of appealing in the whole blank slate scenario. You get to do things with them. But they would also be under more scrutiny from Sega, because who knows if they change their minds and want to bring them back at some point. I don't know.
Yeah,
you're right, though. It would be fun to see the two of them fight, because it's fun throwing the toys at each other.
Here's a question from Necromage. What would Zavok and Nagus' relationship be if they met each other?
Kind of depends on the circumstances, but manipulative.
Oh, yeah.
Nagus would more than likely be trying to use the Deadly Six for his own ends, and Zavok would know that from the get-go. It's basically bad guys all over again. It's just a set of finitives.
Wow.
Starline.
That's a bit of a Freudian slip there.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. That was Discord messing up again.
Oh, okay.
Instead of Starline messing with them, it's Nagus. And then, depending on which incarnation of Nagus, depends on what kind of power set he had and whether or not he'd be able to hold up against any of the Deadly Six.
Yeah. And our next question here comes from Darkness Rising 24. If Metal Knuckles is limited to Classic Sonic's dimension / world / timeline, I don't know, could you still use Mecha Knuckles from the Advance series, since it's technically from the modern era?
I would think so, but I haven't tested that yet, so I don't know. I want them both, so I don't know. We'll see one day. I don't know.
We'll find out, maybe, someday, perhaps. You will find out, at least. And then maybe the rest of us can find out with you. But then again, maybe not. We'll see! Here's one from Waku Waku Patrol. How do you think a robot's soul works in the Sonic franchise? Is it separate from free will? Sonic Battle seems to state that it is. Do robots just gain one when they become advanced enough, or if they interact with mystical objects like the Chaos Emeralds or the Phantom Ruby? I would like some clarification on that, if possible.
So would I. It's been a while since I went through Battle, so I could be wrong here, but I believe, I don't think Emeril really developed an identity, a soul, until he had been with everybody and they had helped cultivate his individuality. But on the flip side, you have Chaos Gamma, who seems to have a very clear, if basic, drive, and seems to be more than just following programming. Of course, he also had a shard of Chaos Emerald in him, which, according to canon, is impossible because you can't break Chaos Emeralds, but they're all green in that game anyway.
It's in the Archie universe. Well.
Omega supposed to be like fully realized individuals, from what I'm told. They're supposed to be fairly robotic, but we are playing with that. So, and then you've got the hard-boiled heavies, who are just oozing personality.
Right.
So ultimately, I don't know. I don't think there is a hard and fast set of rules.
As usual. Here's one from Juiced Punk Craigamation 983. Could a shadow android go super if it somehow got access to the emeralds? And would it be as strong as the original shadow?
I don't know. I don't think so. We don't know what the shadow androids are specifically. We know they're based off of Shadow, but some, depending on which depiction you go with, they are clearly mass-produced knockoff models. They aren't just like one-to-one to Shadow. So in that regard, I don't think they could go super. That's a terrifying thought, but no, I don't think so. But I can't say that with absolute confidence.
Rise of the Super Shadows. Scary.
I'm just imagining that scene from Revenge of Metal Cooler. You got Supersonic and Super Shadow standing side by side, all tuckered out, and then they look to the mesa, and it's just lines and lines of shadow androids.
Oh boy. Frightening. I like it. Here's a question from Kanoka Club. Let's say you were allowed to bring humans into IDW as they were in the 2000s games. Would you explain why Gunn was in the bathroom during Forces, or would you just not bother with it?
Just say that Eggman won.
Yeah.
He straight up, like, destroyed most of Gunn.
Gunn got gunned down. Bum, bum, bum. Perfect. There you go. You can write your way around it. And finally, our last question this week is from Makuma. How strong is Knuckles actually?
He's pretty strong. His spikes go through boulders.
Yeah. Yeah. He's tougher than the rest of them.
Best of them.
Tougher than leather. That's totally how he is. He's stronger than steel.
Not to get too power level-y in the comparisons, but if we're going to take Sonic 3 and Knuckles as a baseline, Sonic Spin Dash can shatter Badniks on impact. We know this. So yes. We know that the Spin Dash has considerable power, but Knuckles will block it just straight up.
Yes.
Put on a boxer stance and bounce Sonic away. So we know that at least defensively, he is stronger than a Spin Dash.
Yes. But also,
and he can bust through walls that a Spin Dash cannot.
But also, you're also not considering necessarily that he can punch Sonic out of the super state and knock all of the emeralds off of his person.
I'm falling back on the theory craft that is early Master Emerald neutralizes the Chaos Emerald chicanery.
Maybe.
That is how I'm rationalizing that.
No, I think he's just strong enough to punch Sonic out of Super Steam. I like it. Knuckles is as strong as he needs to be for the plot. That's how strong Knuckles is.
And yet, he is not strong enough to lift a car over his head, but Big the Cat is.
I think Knuckles could lift a car over his head. He just hasn't tried.
Maybe.
He just hasn't tried because there's no cars on Angel Island. So why would he think
that's
to lift
true?
Why would he think to lift a car? He's like, he doesn't
even know what a car is.
Yeah,
he's never seen.
He doesn't really quite understand cars necessarily. So, yeah, it's like it can mostly just confusing to him.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he throws a ship at Metal Sonic in the final boss of Heroes. That's a good point.
Yeah, but he's also kind of super.
Super shield, but whatever. Shield. Screw that. Super shield. Sega's gonna need a super shield if they keep this crap up. From me. Yeah. I am not threatening Sega. It's okay. I'm not threatening you, Sega. You're a good boy. I'll pat you on the head. All right, we're done here. I think.
Before we go,
do it.
Big thank you to all the folks who support us on Patreon, on Ko-fi. Big thank you to Daniel H., Alex P., James K., John B., Jennifer R., Robotnik Holmes, Samuel P., Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Justin G., Mike B., Coupland Crew 128, Duas Dizdin, Diane W., Andrew D., Scruffy Matt, Chris A., Sony, Salute Your Cat, Dave M., John M., Off, Noni, Dom M., Yami, Lee H., K., Lisa M., J., Frost, Chevelle, Jib, Hero of Light 13, Piggy Bank, Blue Title Gamer, Ryan D., Tick, Speedweed, Final, Neil, Justin S., Jonathan D., Rachel W., Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Dabbler, The Dalek, Daniel B., PC the Unicorn, Ben Wolfsbane, Fiona M., Dove, Red the Super Namek, Pan Dolce, Invade Turbo Tunis, Joe S., Preston M., Carlos, Jennifer H., Chad, Alphamon, or Yukon, Michael, Chico D., Renard Pixel, Les, Chase L., Owen BD, Fire Red XY, Mike John, the real Waluigi, Noah S, Sapphire Scarletta, Spark Z, Turbo Crooker, Lexia Loves Jojo, Kojiro Highwind, Michi, Louis J, Zandaroni the Painter, Kimiko, Callum Q, Radri, let us know, Cameron H, Alex the Border Collie, Ava Wolf, Happy Time Zenith, and Scurvy Pirate Hog.
Yay! That's it. That's all we got. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
It certainly is enough. And if you stuck with us this long, a reminder, we have a special guest episode coming out on Friday, and then the live chat is end of the month, October 30th, 6 p.m. over on YouTube.
Yes.
Ask your questions. Send in this super chat to get bumped ahead of the line, to just style on everybody else, and get your questions answered in real time, as long as my voice holds out.
Yes, indeed. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good time. Join us, won't you?
Until then, be good to yourselves, be good to each other, and we will see you next time on the Bumblecast. Once again, I didn't review Beyond the Break because I'm an idiot, so going in blind.
Oh well.
You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
Da 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 da